There's one for you.
More than two pages of this.
I don't know.
Okay.
Your rations. I hear another.
Jeff, and you happen to have your phone and make a backup, just in case. Because, you know, I still have this problem with the masach, you know, and the, you don't have it with you. So far, it's been okay, but it's always totally barach me shamayim, so to speak. I still think if we get that screwdriver somehow, we'll maybe we'll be able to improve it. Okay, then.
That's it.
So let's.
Several cuts.
Oh, there's more.
Thank you. So is this one page?
I want to go back now, with your permission, to the issue of ketana. The Mishnah says that a nara collects knas, and the Gemara is medayik from the Mishnah that apparently a ketana does not collect knas, and that's a reflection of the sheet of Rabbi Meir. So I'll read to you the Braisa here, quoted at the very beginning of Elul Naris on Daf Chof Tes. Desanya Ktano Mibas Yom Echad V'ad Shetovi Shtei Saros Yesh Lo Mecher V'ein Lo Knas. We're on the Braisa on Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph. You can count up about 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud, and you'll see a Gemara that says Rabbi Meir, that our Mishnah reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir that only a Nara collects Knas and not a Ktana. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa that according to Rabbi Meir, there are two, so to speak, authorities granted by the Torah to the father, and they're mutually exclusive. They each apply to a different age bracket of the daughter. The father is granted number one mecher, and number two knas. But there's no overlap according to Rabbi Meir. In a sense, you can say they're mutually exclusive, which means that as long as she's a ketana, the father has the right of mecher, and he can sell her as an omevria. However, when she becomes a Nara, as far as Mechira is concerned, she's out of his Rishus. And the flip side is true with regard to Knas, that as long as she's a Ketana, she doesn't get Knas. She only receives Knas, which again is the father's Chus to pick up the Knas, when she becomes a Nara. That's the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And the Chachamim disagree, and they hold that as long as the father has the schus of mecher, that means when she's a ketana, he could sell her as a shivcha, then, according to Chachamim, he has the rights of collecting her knas as well. So according to the Chachamim, there's an overlap in the case of ketana, in which the father is granted two rights. He has the right to collect her knas and the right to sell her as a shivcha. Of course, in the case of knas, keep in mind the only difference between knas and mecher is that knas depends on her being a bas bia, which means mishol shonim v'yom echad. So that it's an overlap in the period of time between her third year and her 12th year. During that period of time, he has two rights, according to the Chachamim, that overlap and coexist, and that is the right to collect her knas, as well as the right to sell her as a shivcha. Now, the reason why Rabbi Meir excludes a ketana from knas is explained by the sugya later on, and that's based on the pasuk velo siya leisha, that in the parasha of Ones, the Torah says that he has to marry her. And Rabbi Meir understands that what that means is that she has to be a bas havaya. Now, in the case of marriage, we need what's called das hamiskadeshes, which is otherwise known as, in a general sense, as das makne. and therefore only a Nara is capable of giving herself to marriage, meaning of Das Machna, because a Ktana is a La Bar Das. Therefore, there's no way that she can marry herself off when she's a Ktana. Hence, she's not included in the description of the Torah of a Bas as far as Knas is concerned. That description of a Bas means that she's someone who is Havaya, Mahava Es Atzma, which means that she can give herself up and agree to marry someone. That only emerges when she is a Nara, but not when she's a Ketana. That's what we want to know according to Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim Shita is a little bit more complicated, because in the case of the Chachamim, we're going to try to figure out why the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir. Do they simply fundamentally throw out this whole limud of Velosia Leisha? Velosia Leisha simply means that the person who's guilty of the onus, he has to marry her, but it doesn't reflect on her ability to marry herself. Or perhaps the Chachamim will agree fundamentally to the drasha, the Yalfusa of Rabbi Meir, but they don't think that that Yalfusa would exclude a Ketana. So what I'd like you to take out now, if you could put the Gemara for a moment on the side, is a discussion here in, again, there are always two ways of identifying the paragraph that I want to study with you. One is with the number of the paragraph, and one is the other is the number of the page. So let's do both.
Which page?
Okay, so we're going to look at page Pei Vav.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at number Chav Ches. Okay then? Now he quotes the Gemara of Rav Chisda, which is on Daf Mem Amid Beis. My time at the Rabbi Meir, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says in the Parsha of Ones, Velo Sia Leisha, and Rabbi Meir interprets it B'mahava Atzma Hakosuv Medaver. So those are the four words that you want to underline. Those are the words that we're going to be focusing our attention on, and that is that according to Rabbi Meir, Velo Sia Leisha is not just a formulation of the obligation incumbent upon the Ma'anes that he has to marry her, but moreover, it's a description of the Isha who's included in this parasha. She has to be a Velo Sia Leisha, meaning that she can give herself over in marriage to him. That's called Mahava Atzma Akosu Medaber. The Gemara says that according to the Rabbanon, who say that even in the case of a Ketana this Knas, Svirle, that since the Torah says the word Nara without a Hay, the absence of a Hay is coming to include an incomplete Nara, which is a Ketana.
Wow.
Now, what we're about to study here is a Chakira of the Achronim. We're going to see this Chakira appear and reappear amongst many Achronim. And that is an analysis, first and foremost, of Rabbi Meir. After this, we're going to see another Chakira, and that's going to be on number Lamed Beis, which is on your next page, Pei Zayin, on the bottom. And that's going to be a Chakira, how to understand the Rabbanon Shita. But for now, we're going to call our attention to the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Two ways of understanding Rabbi Meir's Shita. One is that Yisod Hadinu, the fundamental, base of Rabbi Meir, his fundamental premise is the following. That a Ketana, who is excluded from Knas, because we need a Mahava Es Atzma, meaning that there's something inherent in the Ketana which makes her into an Eina Yechola Lahavos Es Atzma. So the Chisaron here in the first interpretation is in the Ketana Atzma. So you might want to underline the word ktana, and then on the next line, atzma. Oh, here's the second possibility, that with regard to knas, we need a nara. The pasuk itself is not requiring an isha who's mahavas atzma. The Torah is only giving us what we call a gilui milso. You may find that in the text, a gilui milso. A gilui milso means that we may ask a question about which woman is included in this parasha of Knas. And we could describe a Nara as a woman who is Mahaves Atzma. In the case of a Ketana, well, she's not included in the parasha. And let's clarify this with the Nafkamina. Sometimes when you see the Nafkamina, it becomes easier to understand the tutstadim of the Chakira. Nafkamina l'chereshes v'shota. Now, in the case of chereshes and shota, they too fit under the category of lav b'nei de'aninu. They don't have a das. So if I were to ask you, what is the common denominator that links together a cheresh shota v'katan? I mean, you could just turn it into a female. Yeah. And as far as kiddushin is concerned, what's common to all three?
Chasri das.
Excellent. There's no das. And if we go with the first approach, that simply Rabbi Meir is looking at the isha and he's asking the following question: does she have the ability through her das to be makadish herself, to accept kiddushin? Yeah. And the answer is lav dafka ketana. We don't have to exclude ketana and only ketana. We can exclude any girl who doesn't have das, namely chereshes and shota as well. However, if we take the second interpretation, that this drasha is just a gilui milsa, it's just coming to tell me that the Torah means nara, and it means only a nara. And the reason why Rabbi Meir disagrees with the Chachamim is because he reads the word nara with a hey, that she has to be a full-fledged nara. And what compels Rabbi Meir to read the word nara as if it were written with a hey? The fact that the Torah says v'lo siya le'isha. So v'lo siya le'isha is coming here through the back door to interpret the word nara. In other words, Rabbi Meir Chachamim, according to the second approach, are arguing about the word nara. What is the meaning of the word nara here? Who is included in the parsha of Knas insofar as she is a nara? The Chachamim say it's even a girl who's not a nara. Hence, the Torah omits the word hey, the letter hey. On the contrary, says Rabbi Meir, the Torah is talking about an nara. Even in the ksiv, you know, yeshem lemesoros, we read it without a hey, but yeshem lemikra, you know, we read it with a hey, and therefore nara means a nara, and I'll prove it to you, says Rabbi Meir. How do I know that the word nara is referring to a nara, not to a ketana? Because the Torah says v'lo siya le'isha. And v'lo siya le'isha means an isha shemahavas atzma. That only applies to a nara. So we're using the v'lo siya le'isha to shed a light on the word nara. And we're basically excluding any girl who's not a nara. Would we require that in every case she has to be mahavas atzma, she has to have das to accept our kiddushin? The answer is no. According to the second tzad, even a girl who's not mahavas atzma, as long as she has the status of a nara, she would be included in the parasha of knas. The nafkamina is going to be chereshes v'shota. Chereshes v'shota are included under the status of nara, despite the fact that they aren't capable of being mahavas atzma. So again, in concept, in the conceptual world, what we're looking for here in this chakira is the following profile: a girl who has the status of a nara, but she's not mahavas atzma. If we need befoal, if Rabbi Meir is simply based on velosia le'isha b'mahavas atzma, she has to be able, capable, in actuality of being mahavas atzma. That's not going to be true in the case of a shota or a chereshes. She doesn't have the capacity of being mahavas atzma. She's la bardas. But if we say no, Rabbi Meir didn't go so far as to say that he needs mahavas atzma befoal, but really what he needs is a girl who's a nara. How do I know she's a Nara, not a Ketana? Because the Torah says Velosi Elisha. But as long as Velosi Elisha is only a Gili Milsa to interpret a Nara, then we have the right to assume that according to Rabbi Meir, as long as she's a Nara, she's included in the Parsha of Knas.
Even though the
Pasuk
says
Bina,
which is which seems to indicate that she doesn't have, she lo mahavat atzma.
Well, wait a second. She's not mahavis atzma simply because she doesn't have das. Binureh beisavir, that's a pasuk in the parsha in Matos of Nedarim and so forth and so on, that she's in the reshus of the father. Our intention is only to understand what Rameir was saying. When he darshaned the pasuk velosi elisha, do we look at velosi elisha independently? And he interprets it as Mahavis Atzma. Only a woman who's capable of being Mahavis Atzma because she's a Bardas, she's included in this parasha. Or no, he's not looking at Velosia Leisha independently. He's using Velosia Leisha to be Machriya Sakaf. We have a suffix, we don't know what is Nara. Does Nara include any girl who's a Nara? Or does Nara include only a girl who's Mahavis Atzma? But at the end of the day, if she is a Nara, then Rabbi Meir is only using Mahavis Atzma to indicate that we're excluding a Ketana. Why are we excluding a Ketana? Because of the Pasuk Nara. Do you follow me? There are two psukim here. We want to know what really is the catalyst that led Rabbi Meir to the conclusion that a ketana doesn't get knas. Is it the pasuk Nara, or is it the pasuk Velosi Elisha? If it's the pasuk Velosi Elisha, then Rabbi Meir is saying that only a girl who's Velosi Elisha is included in this parsha. If on the other hand it's Nara, what he's saying is that you need a Nara who's reached the maturity level of a 12-year-old. She's included in the parsha of Knas, but a girl who's less than 12 is not included in the parsha of Knas. Just that Rabbi Meir needs the Velosi Elisha to, and again this is the concept of Gili Milsa, to reveal what is the interpretation of Nara. Once we interpret Nara in the light of Velosi Elisha, we're coming to exclude a Ketana, but the basic miyud is to exclude a Ketana. If you had a girl who's a Nara, she's already 12 years old, I wouldn't care one iota as to whether or not she's Mahavis Atzma. And therefore, Chereshis and Ashota, who are two girls who have reached the age of 12, they become what we call a Nara, and all the dinim of a Nara will apply to them except for one din, and that is the din that requires das, namely to be Mahavis Atzma to accept Kiddushin. That clearly they're excluded from, but otherwise, for all other purposes, they have the status of a Nara once they reach the age of 12. There's another category, by the way, which I don't want to mention here because it'll just confuse you, and that's called an Islandess. An Islandess is a girl who doesn't have simoni naros. You know, this girl who's a chereshes or a shota, she's a deaf mute or she's somewhat deranged in some sense, she has simoni naros. You know, she has shtei saros and whatever physical, biological simonim she has. Mm-hmm. They manifest themselves in her. So she's a full-fledged nara. There's another issue that vis-a-vis certain halachos, you need das. So, for example, in Kinyonim and Kiddushin, you need Das. And she, insofar as she's a Chereish or a Shota, doesn't have Das. So if you ask me, would I describe her as a Mahavis Atzma? The answer is no. She's clearly not a Mahavis Atzma. But if you ask me, can I describe her and categorize her as a Nara? And the answer is she is a Nara. So if Rabbi Meir is only coming to exclude a Ketana, insofar as a Ketana is not a Nara, that has no impact on a Chereshis Vishota, because she has the status of a Nara. If on the other hand, Rabbi Meir is saying, I need a Mahavis Atzma, then Chereshis and Kshota are not in the parish of Knas, because they don't have the capacity of Mahavis Atzma. You know what? Maybe we'll see the Machlokas Rishonim, it'll become clearer. He has a Rambam. The Rambam in the beginning of Nara Murasa Paskins, that Cheresh Vishota Ein Lahem Knas. Again, if we had the time, we would open up the Rambam and see the Ravid inside. The Ravid says that the Rambam made a toast. He made a mistake. Dilehedja, Lirabonon Yeshla Knas Upitu. Okay, this is a brisa that we haven't gotten to on Daf Lamed Vav, and there the brisa says about a chereshes v'shoter that she does collect knas, and the Ravid understood that when the brisa says she gets knas, it's addressing not only the shita of the chachamim but also the shita of Rabbi Meir. Now, I understand that according to the Chachamim, the Ravid could claim that a Chereshes Veshota Yeshlem Knas. Why? Because they still have what's called a Cheskas Besula, and the Rabbanim don't require a Mahavis Atzma. But how could the Ravid go a step further and say that a Chereshes Veshota have a Knas, even according to Rabbi Meir? That's way out. Because Rabbi Meir has the pasuk of Velosi Aleisha, which he interprets as B'mahavis Atzma. How then can the Ravid claim that a Chereshes Veshota Yeshlem Knas? So the Shita Mekubetza says that the truth is with the Rambam. The Rambam is right that once we exclude a Ktana, because she's not Mahavis Atzma, then ipso facto we should have to exclude a Chereshos and a Ktana. Why? They should also be excluded from Knas under the Drasha Velosi Leisha. How then can we justify the Ravid Shita? Unless the Ravid understood that the exclusion of Velosi Leisha is of a Ktana who's not a Nara. But if she is a Nara, we don't need Mahavis Atzma, because Mahavis Atzma is only what? Everybody? A Gilui Milsa. It's a Gilui Milsa that when the Torah says Nara, it's coming to exclude any girl who's not a Nara. However, if you have a girl who's not excluded because she's not a Nara, that's a double negative, meaning she is a Nara, it would be absolutely irrelevant to judge whether or not Velosi Elisha, she's a Mahave Es Atzma. So let's take a look at the paragraph here, the Shita Megubetzes. The Shita Megubetzes, Kosa Behedja, Ketzara Rishon, Dachisorin Uvishum Tektana, Ein Lo Knas. The Ayin Shom, Shehiksha, Demai Dekomer, My Time in the Rabbi Meir, Ha Bekroksiv Nara Lamute Ketanu, Beer, Demida Lo Komer, Rabbi Meir, Nara Dafka Yesh Lo Knas, Velo Ketana, Komer, Ketana ain lo knas, mashma the mitzad katnusa ain lo knas, v'lo mishum she'ena nara. There's something in the fact that she's a ketana that sets up a chisaron and takes her out of the parish of knas. It's not the absence of being a nara, meaning Rav Meir doesn't require that she be a nara. Rav Meir requires that she not be a ketana. And why is a ketana excluded, says the Shita Mekubetzes? Because she's not a mahavis atzma. And if that be the case, Mimela, take a look at the next to the last line, Gam Chereshes Ushoten Ismatu Mehai Taima. So again, the Shita Mekubetzes clearly understands that the issue about who's excluded from this parsha is not Nara versus Ketana, but rather Mahavis Atzma versus Eino Mahavis Atzma. And therefore, hence, we come to the conclusion that Chereshes Veshilta are excluded for the same reason, because they don't come under the category of Mahavis Atzma. Then, in the next paragraph, which is Choftes, he has Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega has a Tosus later on in Daf Mem Dalid Amid Beis, that Chereshes Uktano Lo Nismatu Miknas Mikra Devolosi Elisha. And that's a Pella. How could Rabbi Kivega, based on a Tosus later on, say that Chereshes Veshota are not excluded from Velosi Elisha? Velosi Elisha is B'mahavis Atzma. Well, a Cheresh and a Shota, Cheresh clearly are not Mahavis Atzma. So the only way that we can understand Rabbi Kivega is if we assume that we're excluding a Ktana under Velosi Elisha because she's not a Nara. So again, Velosi Elisha, Mahavis Atzma is only telling me that she's not a Nara. But what happens if we would have a girl who's a Nara? Then Velosi Elisha would not exclude her from Knas. Ayin Shom Shehikshu Mehodi Amrinim B'Bisan Ejudav Samach Vavam Beis. The Aliba de Rabbi Meir Abola Ktana hameurasa eino chayev skila. Pirush Rashi shom b'dir maskil zu di alfinan lach dino miknas, that a ktana hameurasa is excluded from knas. Now, if she only had erusin, why should be excluded from knas? To chihechi the sviler Rabbi Meir the ktana elim knas. The nara dafka ksiv velo ktana nami gavi nara murasa nami ein ktana b'mashma. In the parash of nara murasa, who gets a chiv skila, there is an exclusion of a ktana, meaning that whenever it says nara, it means nara to the exclusion of ktana. We saw this in the parash of knas according to Rabbi Meir. In Ma'anes, the Torah says nara to the exclusion of ketana. We're going to apply the same yardstick according to Reb Meir in the parasha of skila, that a ketana hamurasa would not be chayev a skila because the Torah speaks about a nara hamurasa, and a nara comes to the exclusion of ketana. That's the sugyan Sanhedrin Daf Samach Vav. Should I go over that one more time, or we haven't? How many people were following me? A sugyan Sanhedrin. Not so clear? Again, let's go over it.
I didn't say it wasn't so clear. I said I didn't follow it.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe you're exempting me from responsibility. I don't know. In any event, let's go over it one more time. There's a parsha of skila that if a man has a relationship with a ketana murasa, the Torah says that he's chayav skila. She's also chayav skila. But now the question is, what about a ketana? Here it's only relevant to him. Right, so let's say she had a marriage and it was only erusin, and the Torah says that in the case of a ketana, since she's still a besula, the punishment that's meted out is skila. That's a very severe kind of capital punishment on the list of four capital punishments. So that's for a what's called a nara hamurasa. So the Gemara there in Sanhedrin postulates based on a hekesh, we'll get to the hekesh in just a second, that Rabbi Meir would hold that if this married girl is a ketana, there's no chiyuv skila. The parasha of skila doesn't apply because the Torah in the parasha of nara murasa explicitly says nara. So Rashi explains what was the hekesh of, that we know that Rabbi Meir would say nara excludes ketana. Rashi says it's based on Rabbi Meir's understanding of the parash of knas in the case of Anis. There the Torah says nara and Rabbi Meir excludes a ketana. If Rabbi Meir excludes a ketana, in the case of nara for knas, he would likewise exclude skila in the case of a nara murasa because nara excludes a ketana. So Tosis is bothered by this. He says that maybe the parasha of Onus and Mafata is radically different than the parasha of Skila. And to make such an equation is an unfair equation. Minolan diptur miskila, the potu miskila, the Rabbi Meir. Again, in the case of a ketana murasa. Neima, why not say the following? Dafka ba Onus u'mafata ein ketana b'chlal. Tosa says that in the case of Onus, a ketana is excluded. Why? Because of the pasuk v'lo siya le'isha. But in the parasha of nara murasa, we can include a ketana as well, because again, the nara appears without a hay. And the Torah nowhere in the parasha of nara murasa says v'lo siya le'isha. On the contrary, she's already a married woman. He's having a relationship with a married woman as a result of this adultery. He's chayav skila. Even Rav Meir would include a ketana in this context. The only reason he excluded a ketana in the case of Ones for the knas is because the Torah says velosia leisha. So at this point in the Kash of Tosus, he's assuming, like our first tzad, that in knas is a separate halach. You need a woman who's mahavis atzma, and that's why we're going to exclude ketana. It's not that the Torah is saying nara to the exclusion of ketana. The word nara, because it's written without a hey, could tolerate even a ketana. But the Torah says velo siya le'isha, and in the parsha of nara of nara hamurasa shezinso, which is a chiv skila, nowhere does the Torah add this proviso of velo siya le'isha. That's the Kash of Tosis in Sanhedrin. The Tiretz Ri, The Hainu time of the Rabbi Meir. The E love the onus of Mafata also called the Velosil Isha Lichtobu Nara Mole. That Rabbi Meir was trying to figure out why did the Torah write Nara without a hay? And you might have assumed, says Rabbi Meir, that the word Nara without a hay includes a Ktana, which is in fact the sheet of the Chachomim of Rabbi Meir. Comes along Rabbi Meir with the Pasuk Velosil Isha, according to the Ribal Atosus, and he reveals the pshat in Nara, that the Nara here is not a Nara without a hay, but it should be read as a Nara with a hay. And therefore, Hava, meaning I would have thought, Kan Nara, it means even Ktana. Why? Because the Torah omitted the hay, but Midech Siv Velo Siya Le'isho, B'mava Atzma Bo Le'lamed. The Torah, by adding the proviso of Elosiel Isha B'mava Atzma, is coming to shed a light on the word Nara. Don't think that the absence of the hay gives you the right to expand your interpretation of Nara to include even a Ketana name. The word Nara is to be read with a hay, and that's how we have to interpret the word. Kavanosam, what is the import or the implication of Tosfos? The E name of the Dafka Leonis and Mefati Tzrich Kro. Lo beinon velo siya le'isha v'sagi l'michtav nara mole. What Tosfos means is that if the Torah, when it said the word nara without a hay, was coming to include even a ketana, well then why did the Torah add velo siya le'isha? The velo siya le'isha must be telling me that nara means a nara with a hay. Again, the Torah could have easily have added the hay, and then we would have avoided all communications, all confusions. But the Torah didn't do so. Why? Because the Torah in general would tell me that nara without a hay means exactly what it means, even a ketana. Here, only in this particular context of ones umafata, the knas is limited to a case of a nara to the exclusion of a ketana. This, despite the absence of the letter hey, because we need another condition, and that's it's got to be mahavis atzma, it's got to be velosi alisha. That's teaching me that the absence of the hey in the context of knas is totally meaningless. It's totally insignificant. But rather, the word nara should be written or read or interpreted with a hey. And therefore we come to the conclusion that it's nara and not ktana. If that be the case, then whenever the Torah says nara, it means to tell me nara without a hey is only a nara, as if it were written with a hey, to the exclusion of a ktana. Hence, the Gemara comes to the conclusion in Sanhedrin that according to Rabbi Meir, habal ktana murasa eino chayav skila. Why? Even though you'll argue, well, the Torah left out the hay. No, the Torah didn't leave out the hay to exclude the Torah didn't leave out a hay to include a ketana. No, we read it and interpret it as nara with a hay to the exclusion of a ketana. And why do we do so? Because in the parash of Onis and Mafata, the Torah could simply have said nara with a hay, and the Torah didn't do so. It left out the hay to teach us that the word nara without a hay is equivalent to nara with a hay. And it's coming to exclude a ketana. And how do I know that nara without a hay in the parash of Knas is coming to exclude a ketana? That I know from Velo Siya Le'isha. Muchach, says Rabbi Kivega, you see clearly from Tosfos, the Chereshes Veshota, Lonisma to Mikro. They're not excluded from the word Nara. Why? Because Nara is coming to exclude a Ketana. You'll ask me, but Cheirosh is a Ketona, even if I grant you that their status is that of a Nara, but nevertheless they don't have the extra condition of Velosi Elish B'Mahavis Atzma. The answer is no. The Mahavis Atzma was only being used, according to Abayr, to tell me that we read the Nara as if it were written with a hay, and it's coming therefore to exclude a ketana. But in the cases of Chereshes and Shota, there's no reason to exclude them under the word Nara, because they in fact are Naros, and therefore the Nara applies to them. The Imlokain says Rav Kivega, if you don't agree with me, afilu yavi ksiv nara mole mikomakom itzuch lemichta velosia leishalamayt chereshes v'ketana. Right, Rabbi Meir says and that's how Tosfos interprets him in Sanhedrin, that the only reason I need velosia leisha is because the Torah wants to teach us that the word nara should be written with a hey, means should be interpreted with a hey. So now Rabbi Kivege asks the following question. Rabbi Meir's premise is, why didn't the Torah write the word nara with a hey? And he answers that it's coming to teach me that nara is always excluding katana, even when it's without a hey. But Rabbi Kivege argues the following objection. He raises the following objection. How could Rabbi Meir say that if the Torah would have just added the word hey, then it would have been fine and dandy? No. The Torah, even if it adds the word hey, would need the velosi alisha for another reason, to exclude chereshes and shota, because they are not ma'avis atzma. It's clear, therefore, that Rabbi Meir's understanding of velosi alisha ma'avis atzma is only to determine the rules and regulations of how to interpret the word nara when it's written without a hey. So that justifies the extra velosi leisha. The velosi leisha in this context is superfluous, and it's only justified if you assume the Torah is coming to tell you that the word nara without a hey means nara with a hey, which means nara to exclude ketana. Now, how does Rabbi Meir have the right to draw that conclusion? Maybe we need the velosi leisha to exclude a woman who is a nara, but she's not ma'avis atzma. And that's a chereshes and a shota. Apparently, Rabbi Meir agrees that a chereshes and a shota would collect knas. Why? Because they're included under nara. So then you'll ask me, so why does the Torah have to add velosia leisha? And the Torah is now telling us that whenever it says nara without a hey, it means nara to exclude ketana. Lafugi from the Rabbanan who say that nara without a hey includes a ketana. So according to the Chachamim, against Rabbi Meir, a baal a ketana murasa, he would be chayev skila. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Why does Rabbi Meir disagree? Because he understands that since it says in the parsha of nara murasa nara, it means to the exclusion of a ketana. How do you know that the word nara excludes a ketana? The Chacham insists that it doesn't exclude a ketana because the Torah has written it without a hey. The answer is no. Whenever you see the word nara, says Rabbi Meir, without a hey, you interpret it as if there were a hey there. And how do I know this? I know this from the parasha of Ones. Because in the parasha of Ones, it says velo siya leisha, and that reveals that the word nara without a hey is equivalent to a nara with a hey, which means that even if she's a ketana, that if she's a ketana and she's not a nara, she's excluded from knas. But anyone who's a nara would be included in the parasha of knas. Now, what I'd like to do with you now is fast forward to the bottom of page Pei Zayin. Now, according to the Chachamim Shita, in the case of a ketana, she collects knas. Correct? She collects knas, even though she's a ketana.
Is there some? Yeah. There are two categories here. I mean, the ketana will grow into narut, but the chereshet, shota, and ilanit are excluded. They're not going to grow into that. They're going to get simanim, but they're not going to be mahavat atzmam because they have a developmental problem.
And yet, Rabbi Kivege says that according to the Rabbi Meir, in such a case, they collect knas. So a man is ma'anis echereshes, he pays knas. How could that be? She's not a mahavat atzma. And she'll never be a mahavat atzma.
Exactly.
So how could Rabbi Kivege maintain this very odd position that she does collect knas, even according to Rabbi Meir, and she's included in the parasha of Nara? What about Velosi Elisha?
Maybe it's one or the other, Simanim or Mahavat Atzma.
Yes, that you're 100% correct. But how does Rabbi Kivei know that to arrive at that conclusion? Rabbi Meir excludes a ketana because she's not Mahavat Atzma. So how do you know that a chereshet who is not ma'avad atzma, it's almost a kal v'chomer, is not excluded, she's included. That's the whole approach of Rav Kivege to prove right. This based on an analogy between the parasha of Nara Hamurasa Shezinsa, that's the parasha of Skila, and the parasha of Knas. How could Rabbi Meir be postulating that equation? It doesn't make sense. If Rabbi Meir is excluding a ketana because she's not Mahavis Atzma, that has no bearing on the case of Skila, because there the Torah doesn't require Mahavis Atzma. So what kind of equation was Rabbi Meir operating with? And the answer is, Rabbi Meir in truth doesn't require Mahavis Atzma. The Mahavis Atzma was only a proof that the word narrow, when it's written without a hay, is to be interpreted as if it were written with a hay, to the exclusion of someone who's not a nara, meaning a ketana. But anyone who is a nara is included, both with regard to knas and with regard to skila, because any girl who has the status of a nara is included, right, to the exclusion of a ketana. Ketana doesn't have that status. And even though you'll argue as the Chachamim do, wait a minute, the Torah says Nara without a hay. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Meir says, no, Nara without a hay is a Nara with a hay. How can he say such a thing? That's where he introduces the Lo Seal Isha. The Lo Seal Isha is going to give me a proof in one particular case, but once I have that proof, I can now universalize it in all cases, that Nara should be interpreted as if it had the hay. And if it has the hay, it's coming to exclude a Ketana. He only uses the Velo Seal Isha, we called it before a Gili Milsa, to prove that the word Nara without a hay should be interpreted as Nara with a hay, that it's excluding a Ketana. But he's not requiring a Velo Seal Isha Mahavis Atzma. And therefore, Rabbi Kivega comes to the conclusion, based on that Tosus in Sanhedrin, that according to Rabbi Meir, in the case of a Chereshis and a Ketana, a Chereshis and a Shota, she does in fact collect Ketana. Okay. Now Rabbeinu said we want to sort of shift our focus for a moment on the Chachamim Shita. The Chachamim argue that even a Ketana collects Knas, and that they derive from the absence of the hay of Nara, that Nara means an incomplete Nara, even a Ketana. So now we want to raise the following question. What are the Chachamim doing with the pasuk v'lo seal isha? Rabbi Meir used that pasuk, let's go with Rabbi Kivega, as a gili milsa to prove that the word nara excludes a ketana, because a ketana is not a mahavis atzma. Are the chachamim completely oblivious to this? So here I think, Yosef, is where your sfara comes to the fore, and that is that a ketana, in some sense, I hear those three words, is considered or categorized as mahavis atzma. What do you mean? I mean, a ketana is not mahavis atzma. The answer is, she will become a mahavis atzma. It means the following, that according to Chachamim, the lo seal le'isha is only going to exclude a woman who will never be mahavis atzma. By her very nature, her very status, her very intrinsic biological, psychological status or situation, she is not a mahavis atzma. That's not true in the case of a ketana. That's one approach. Okay?
So that would exclude Chereshet
of Shota. Oh, yeah. That's what we're coming to, Yosef, in just a minute. That's going to be this hafla on Nova Lamed Beis, which I'm hoping that you have Pei Ches as well. Is that true?
Yeah, I
do. Oh, good. So we'll be able to learn Lamed Beis. But again, just before we learn Lamed Beis, which is the hafla, let's just get our bearings. According to Chachamim, this is the title of our discussion. What do they do with the pasuk v'lo seal isha, which Rabbi Meir says mahavis atzma? Okay. So one way of understanding this is to assume that the ktana, okay, the ktana is mahaves atzma. And why is that? Just one second. I'm just going to read you a few words and then we'll read it inside. He says the following. Yesh lachkar. We're going to raise the following chakira. In the case of velosia leisha, which is called mahaves atzma, is it that the isha herself needs to be a bas havaya, or we need some sort of possibility of velosia leisha? So let's go over that one more time, and then we'll, Belinetta will see it inside. One way of to say velosia leisha is to say that she herself has to be a bas havaya, that she can create an ishus as she is now. In other words, now she's a ketana, and she's excluded because she cannot create ishus. The other way is to saying it, no. It's not that she has to be able to create ishus, but that rather she has to be included in ishus. Are you familiar with this? This is a pretty classic methodology in the world of Lumdus. The second definition is that she could have issues. She will have issues later on down the line. She's not totally excluded from issues. There is issues with a ketana. I'll prove it to you. If the father accepts kiddushin on her behalf, she's an ishus ish in the full sense. So she does have ishus. She's not excluded from ishus. The first understanding was that mahavis atzma means that she could create ishus. She has the das to enter into this marriage relationship. But the second definition is that all we need is the possibility of velosia leisha. She cannot be mahavis atzma, she can't create issues for herself, but she can have issues. She's included in issues. And the nafkamina is going to be the case of shota. Why? Because the shota could possibly have issues. She cannot be mahavis atzma, but she can have issues. So let's see this inside on Lamed Beis, and let's see if we can flesh this all out. So again, if we're going to assuming that she has to be included in issues, then maybe there is a possibility of including her in issues. Let's see how. Ein hafla shekosav dinehi dirabbanan lo darshi b'mahaves atzma mikomakom. Dafka b'ktana pligi. Why did Rabbanon say? In other words, at this point, the Aflah is trying to justify the velosia leisha according to the Chachamim. They include ktana, but what about velosia leisha b'mahaves atzma? How did the Rabbanon have the chutzpah, so to speak, of including ktana under velosia leisha? And the answer is, because Ruya Misha Tigdal, in other words, she could have issues. That's called Velosia Leisha. She's included in the concept of Parsha of issues. That's the way the Rabbanan understand it. And therefore, a Ketana is included under Velosia Leisha. Now, what's the Nafkemina? Where would the Rabbanan agree that there is no knas in the cases of Chereshis and Shota? Why? That's considered a lav bas kiddushin. Kevon The lo karinin ba is a reference to kairachus and shota velo seal isha ein lo knas, even according to the rabbanon of Rabbi Meir. Why? Again, not because the pasuk nara would exclude her. She's included in nara, as we said before, but she's excluded under velo seal isha because according to that flaw now, the chachamim also embrace velo seal isha. They just hold that a ketana is included under velo seal isha because when she grows out of her katnus, let's say she's now 11 in a year from now, she can accept kiddushin. But in the case of chayreshus and shota, lo dami lemechayve krisus debas kiddushin he leacherim. So again, both in the case of ketana according to the chachamim, or in the case of a woman who's an erva on this ma'anes, this person who was ma'anes her, so as far as he's concerned, there's no possibility of a lo seal isha, but nevertheless she's included in this isha because she's, you know, the only person she can't marry is him, right? That's her brother, but she can marry every other man on the face of the earth. Masha enkin b'chereshes v'shota yisoma the lav bas havoya hi klal. Now again, he's getting into the following issue, and that is that just like a ketana could be married off by her father, so too a chereshes and a shota can also be married off by her father. So in that case, clearly she's included in knas. So what scenario would exclude a chereshes from a knas, a yesoma? So the father is out of the picture. So there's no possibility of him marrying her off. Again, in the case of ketana, l'chsheyagdil, when she becomes older, she can marry herself off. But not so in the case of a chereshes and a shota. We're not going to suggest that she's a bas havaya if she's a yesoma and the father's out of the picture. She's a lav bardas, and you could wait from now until doomsday, and she remains a lav bardas. There's no l'chsheyagdil over here, and therefore she's excluded from issues of a mahavas atzma. However, that's not the only act in town, the only game in town. If you take a look at the paragraph of Hine, but we'll skip one paragraph for the time being. Yesh lachar behad be'inon shetei isha bas havaya. And now keep in mind that according to that flaw, this is true even in the Chachamim of Rav Meir, she has to be a Bas Havaya. Just that we suggested that a Ketana is considered a Bas Havaya because of L'chsheyagdil. He says, let's offer two interpretations. The first one, before the word O at the end of this line, starting with the word Im, it's Exeris HaKosev Ala Isha Atzma Shetia Bas Havaya. Now in that case, what we said is that if she is a chereshes and a shota, it's very difficult to call her a bas havaya, because even if you wait from now until she becomes 50, she's still not a bas havaya. A ketana, on the other hand, might be considered a bas havaya, but a shota or a chereshes yisoma cannot be considered a bas havaya, because if the father's out of the picture and he's not going to be able to accept kiddushin for her, he's dead already, then she doesn't have the ability to accept her own kiddushin, and the situation is unlikely to change. What I mean, her status as she is now, which he calls her isha atzma, is that there's no way of her being a mahavis atzma. Not so in the case of ketana. She's temporarily a ketana, and that's going to change with time. So we can say that she's included in mahavas atzma. So therefore, according to the first approach, that the isha has to be a mahavas atzma, we have to exclude chereshes and ketana. Those two ladies cannot come under the description of mahavas atzma.
Chereshes and shota.
O, do you have the word O?
Yeah.
Okay. Now he has a second possibility. When the Torah says below seal isha bevas atzma, that's not the description of her. Ella, what we rather need is, and this is the Chachamim Shita, that the father could marry off his daughter as a ketana. We need an efsharus, the possibility. She is kayim akra delo seal isha. If we could come up with one possible scenario in which this woman could accept issues, and basically it means she could have issues, then she would have the same status as a ketana. The ketana has the possibility of issues if her father would marry her off. That's not true in the case of Chereshis and Shota, but nevertheless he still assumes that there's an efsharus. How is there a possibility? And the answer is lichshe yishtape. Meaning that if she becomes sane, I guess, again...
Normal.
Yeah, normal. Okay, that's a good word. Normal. Then she would have Ishus. So she's not completely excluded from Ishus. This very same woman might actually get to a situation in which she's Mahavis Atzma. So if you're asking about the status of the woman now, then the Torah says, I need a Mahavis Atzma. She is not a Mahavis Atzma. But if you're talking about Velosi Elisha in terms of Kiyum, and what the Torah means, like just like in the case of Habal Achoso, we say it's called Velosi Elisha because as far as Habal, possibility of having a Velosi Elisha. They could be a Velosi Elisha, albeit not to her brother, but to someone else. Here also, in the case of a Shota and a Chereshis, there is a possibility of Velosi Elisha. And he wants to suggest that this is the Yesod, this is the underlying fundamental issue in a great debate between the Haflah and Rabbi Kiveger. The Haflah is of the opinion that the Rabbanon, as we saw on the top of this page, consent to Rabbi Meir in the cases of Chereshis and Shota. That's clearly these ladies are excluded under Velosi Elisha. Because as far as her status now is concerned, as far as we see her, it's not a temporary status that's going to change with the passage of time. She has a Chaloshem Lav Bas Havaya. She doesn't have Das for Havaya. And therefore, even the Rabbanon would agree in this case. It's not like Tana, who, with the passage of time, without any major change, you know, we don't need all the psychiatrists in the world, she will become a Gedola, and she would be Mavis Atzma. And that's why the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Meir about a Ketana. But they would agree, says the Haflah, that Rabbi Meir is absolutely correct in the cases of Chereshis and Shota, because her status now is not a Velosi Elisha Mahavis Atzma status. So why then does Rabbi Kiveger accept that the Rabbanon will disagree with Rabbi Meir, not only in the case of a Ketana, but just as well, they will disagree in the cases of Chereshis and Shota. That in all these three cases, she does collect knas. And the answer is that the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Kiveger, have a different take, a different twist on Velosi Elisha. Velosi Elisha is not reflective of the status of the woman. Namely, is she excluded from Ishus on the long, you know, the long range, or it's just a temporary blockage that she's now a Ketana? But rather, they understand the Velosi Elisha means befall. Is there a possibility of Velosi Elisha? And that's called Lichshe Tishtape. And what I would ask you to do, if you're into underlining, is count down on this paragraph, Ahine, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. You see the word Lichshe Tishtape. You would want to underline that word. This is the breakthrough of Rabbi Kiveger against Haflah. And he's saying that Haflah, I disagree with that Haflah. In my view, the Chachamim would accept would reject Rabbi Meir and accept the possibility of a Knas in the case, and not only the possibility of a Knas, but accept the Chiyuv Knas in the cases of Chereshis and Shota. And why? Because all we have to have is a possibility somewhere under the earth, under the sky, that there will be a fulfillment of Velosi Elisha. In the case of a Shota Chereshis, is there a possibility that sometime down the line there will be a Velosi Elisha? Anybody at home? Yes, when?
What is that based on?
I'm not sure. I think it's based on sugyas elsewhere in Shas. I can't.
Normally, we don't look at Erev Shul without Erev Shul as changing, right? Permanent situation.
They don't view it as changing.
Right.
Correct. They don't view it as changing. But the exception to the rule is going to be a case where the Torah only requires an efshamut. You know, it's some sort of theoretical possibility, not just theoretical, but I mean an actual possibility. So normally when we see the Torah adding a condition, it's defining the Isha, or defining the person. And then we're saying that she's not a Mahavis Atzma. So then certainly the flaw is correct, and the Rabbanan would agree to Rabbi Meir in the cases of Chereshis and Shota.
This would apply to all cases in Chereshis and Shota? Way,
interesting. It could be that maybe there are different categories of chereshes for shota. For example, you know, you can have the possibility of teaching a chereshes. You know, I don't know. Again, you have to Google this. Well, I use the word Google to mean the word Google means it's science and reality, and you have to check it out. I just use the word Google. That's just a code word for me. I don't know the reality, but could be in reality there are two different categories of a chereshes. Again, you'll ask me a kasha from Helen Keller. I don't know, that's a good kasha. But let me assume that in certain extreme cases of a chereshes, there's no way we can anticipate teaching her language skills. Okay, maybe we can teach her other things, but not language. Shota is already a little bit more sophisticated, because those are psychological and social skills that she excludes, that she is excluded from. You know, she takes a tzror and she throws it in, you know, throws it at somebody, or she takes a valuable ring and she throws it into the ocean. You know, she doesn't have communication skills because she's not socially skilled. Could be that in the case of a shota, there's more of a chance of educating her and training her, in which she could possibly come to the level where she sheds her status as a shota. So you're right. I think there may be different. You know, we'd really have to do a tremendous research investigate the status of a shota and the status of a chereshes in halacha, and there may be different subcategories. But he's talking about a case that's curable. Again, it's not likely that she'll be cured, but as I say, under the sky, there's a possibility that she could be cured. So if the Torah is not saying that she has to be a Bas Havaya now in her status, but rather that Havaya has to be feasible, right? Because, for example, we're not going to exclude Achoso, even though right now it's impossible for her to be a Bas Havaya to this Ma'anes. But rather we're going to look for the possibility if she had another relationship with a different man. You follow me? So the Torah seems to be indicating that the velosi alisha means that there could be, it's feasible, an efshavut, a possibility of fulfilling velosi alisha. And it could be therefore that this is the explanation that underlies Rabbi Kivager, who comes to a very surprising conclusion that the Chachamim would disagree with Rabbi Meir, not only in the case of Ketana, but even in Chereshes and Shota. Ketana, we understand, is a temporary passing thing, so her status is that she is a Bas Havaya of Kedushin. But you can't tell me that the status of a Chereshes and Shota is a temporary status. I mean, you'd have to change worlds in order to make her into a Shafuya, right? And he's saying that Rav Kivega could only be understood if we take a whole different approach to the Chachomim in Velosi Elisha. And again, I don't think Rabbi Kivega is arguing with the premise of the flaw that the Chachamim adopted the position of Rabbi Meir, agreed to the position of Meir, that Velosi Elisha means Mahavis Atzma. What Rabbi Kivega is saying is that although they agreed to Mahavis Atzma, but what they understood was that's not a definition of her status, but rather it's a requirement that there should be a possibility of a low seal to Isha. And here's where the Rebbe Kivega insists that there's a possibility of to stop her. The Makai Gavna, if she would become a Shvuya, Shvuya means if she's normal, is Efshal Lekayim Akra de Velosi Elisha. Hafla, on the other hand, is related to Havi Xeris Akosvala Isha Atzma, which I call a status definition. And here is where the Rabbanu will distinguish between Ketana on the one side and Chereshes and Shota on the other side. Umishum Hachi, Lo Chashiva Bas Havaya, even. Well, what did I just say? Whatever I just said, forget it. What I just said was according to Rabbi Kivega. Now we're explaining the flaw, correct? Sorry, I crossed political lines over here. So again, according to Rabbi Kivega, we need the possibility of being Makayim the Krov, Alosi Elisha, that applies to Chereshis and Eshota. Hence, in those cases, she would receive Knas, according to the Chachom. Now let's put on our haflah thinking cap. He says that even the chachamim will agree that there's no knas in a shota and a chereshes. And why is that? Because he's looking at the status of the woman. And right now she has a permanent status, not a temporary status, right? You remember back in the day when you came to Israel as an 18-year-old, you know, you either got a what was it called, a 2B, or so you had a temporary status, and every year you had to go back and, you know, to the Mishrat HaPnim in order to extend your status. But here, this woman, she's not given a temporary status like a Ketana. She's stamped with a permanent status as a Shota or a Chereshes. That makes her into a Lav Bas Havaya, and she's excluded there under the Pasuk of Loti Elisha, even according to the Chachamim, from Knas. And Lo Chashiva Bas Havaya Mishum Sheyechol Lishtapos, you can't tell me, well, maybe under the sun somehow we're going to be able to cure her. You know, we'll get what's the name of that school that does magic? Feuerstein? Feuerstein. Well, yeah. It has a name to it. It's downtown somewhere. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They say it's like one of the best schools in the world for special children. They do miracles.
Yeah.
Now, miracles doesn't mean that they're not special children, but they're able to reach levels that you never would have dreamt of. And the trouble is that nobody gets into that school. It's so hard to get, you need a Nes Min HaShemayim to get accepted there. So I have a former student of mine who, thank God, somehow he got his daughter accepted to that school, and she's a different person today. I mean, 4 years later, after 4 years in that school, she's high functional. I mean, she's still a special child, but she's high functional. So this was not a paid political announcement here, because I can't help you get anybody into that school. I don't have the right vitamin P. But anyway, so the flaw says the following, that when you look at a chereshes and a shota, that's not a temporary visa, that's a permanent stamp. Right now, she's not considered a bas havaya, lo chashiva bas havaya. And he can't tell me, well, maybe, you know, she's going to get sent to the Feuerstein school. That's not what we see over here. It's not like a ketana, just the clock is ticking. That's what I always say about Rav Yonasan Iverson. He was elected to be the Rav at the age of 17. So the first drasha he gave in Iverson, he said, I promise you that every moment of my life I'll be masaking that chisar. With every passing moment, he was working on not being a 17-year-old. So here also, Ketana, you could say that she's already on the way to become a Gedola. But you can't say that in the case of a Chereshes and a Shota, that she's on the way to becoming Mishtapa of Shvuya. Hashta, right now, she's a Lav Bas Havaya, and that's her status. And he says that that this is the rush. Now, I think we saw this rush. Let me just remind myself for a second here. You see, Sammy, here, take a look. The Rush actually coins a phrase that I think would reflect what you were saying before. Do you see that phrase, Shota Gamur?
Yeah.
It could be that he's implying there are different levels of a Shota. And we say that there's no Zchia on the part of a Shota. Why? Because Zchia mitam Shlichus. And the Shota cannot be a Mishaleach. He's excluded from Shlichus. Because there's a principle called Ma Atem. Atem is a reference to the Shliach. Bardas, af shluchachem bardas. Even the one who sent you has to be a bardas, so that a shota cannot have shlichus. However, says the Rosh, that only applies to a shota gamur. Why? Because a shota gamur is eni yochel lishtapos. Not that he's eni yochel lishtapos. It's possible that he'll be mishtapos, but nevertheless, right now it's a permanent status as a shota, and therefore he's excluded from shlichus. We hold Zochin Lekatan. Does anybody remember from whence we derive the principle of Zochin Lekatan, a parasha in the Torah? I'll give you a hint. It has something to do with Yahushua and the Nesi'im. Do you remember what they divvied up? Okay, it has something to do with Zionism. What did they divvy up? The land of Israel. And they divvied up even to Ketanim. Even to Ketanim. And there are riots for this in the Gemara at the beginning of the second parak of Kedushin. Hence, we derive the conclusion of Zochin Lekatan. Now, how can we say Zochin Lekatan and then turn around and say Ain Zochin Leshota? If a Shota is excluded because he can't be a Mishalech, he's a Lav Bardas, a Katan should likewise be excluded. The answer is, says the Rosh, a Shota is a Shota Gamur, whereas a Katan, Yeshlo Zchiyah Hol V'Asi Lichlal Das. Those are the key three words you want to underline. This is the Rosh in Ksubas Perek Sheni. He says that there is Zchiyah to a Katan because a Katan is Asi Lidei or Lichlal Das. Then, back to Sevi, your point. There's a different kind of a Shota. The Rosh calls him Itim Cholim Itim Shota. He goes in and out.
Yeah.
In and out. On a Sunday, a Tuesday, and a Friday, he doesn't know what's flying. On Monday and Wednesday, he's perfectly normal. That's why he comes to class on Monday and Wednesday. So that he's has Zechia. Why? Because in this case, we see this as not a permanent resident, but a temporary resident. He's a temporary resident of the school called the Shota School, because tomorrow he's perfectly normal. So he only has that temporary status. It's constantly changing. That's called Itim Shota, Itim Cholim. And Halacha is, according to the Rosh, Islei Zechia. And he has the same status as a katan who there is chia. So even though a katan can't make a shliach, he can have a shliach. And even though an itim cholim cannot make a shliach when he's in the state of shota, but nevertheless he can have a shliach. And how can he have a shliach? The answer is because we're anticipating that tomorrow he will be normal, as you said. Alma. The hecha, the beinon, gavra, the osil chal schia, shota. At least in the case of a shota gomur, lo mikri osil chal schia. There's no such thing as a schia lekata. I'm sorry. There's no such thing as a schia leshota because a shota is considered a lav bar das, and we're not going to say, well, tomorrow he'll feel better. No, we're not going to say tomorrow he'll feel better, unless he's an Itim kind of guy. But if he's not the Itim guy, he's a Shota Gomur, he's lo Asi Lichlal Zechia. And therefore, the Afla would say that in case of a Shota or a Chereshes, she is not considered to be a Mishtape, that we can include her in the Knas and Velosi Elisha, because tomorrow she'll feel better and she'll be cured of her ailment. We don't have that. And you see it from the halach of Ein Zoch and Lishota. Okay, then we have the exclusion of Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega says, no, that's not the way the Rabbanan learned Velosi Elisha. They're not looking at the status of the Isha. Is she a Shota now? No, what they're looking at is the possibility of fulfilling and implementing Velosi Elisha. And that applies even to a Shota. Now, Rabosai, what we want to look at is, that was Oslam at Bays, am I right?
Yes.
Now, we want to fast forward to Os Lamed Tes. The question is, if you have these pages, I'm hoping you do.
Yeah, so Sadial.
Page 5 is the end.
Okay, Sadial. Do you have it?
Sadial.
Now, let me give just a little bit of an introduction to Os Lamed Tes. There is a very fundamental machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos as to how to learn kusis. The Mishnah says that a kusis collects knas. And Rashi says, if you take a look at Rashi on the Mishnah, kosovar gere arayos hen. Does anybody know what the implication is of gere arayos? Is it valid geres or not valid?
Not valid.
Not valid. V'yesham belav delot ischatein bom. So Rashi says that kusis is listed, is enumerated here in our Mishnah as one of the psulos. Why? Because there's a lav de oraisa of lot ischatein bom. So Tosfos rejects Rashi for two reasons. First of all, he rejects Rashi because Rashi is based on a sugya in Yevamos, and Rava's conclusion in the sugya of Yevamos is that there is no violation of lo tischatein bam while they are gioros, what's called big giyuson. Because if there is big giyuson, then that comes under a different lav. But what's the lav for? All right, we'll see it inside. I'm just trying to give an introduction. In any event, Rabbeinu Tam is a problem. Why? Because Rava's conclusion is that lo tischatein bam applies dafka after the gerus, meaning that the Torah had a special lav regarding the Zion Umos, that even after gerus, you're not allowed to marry them. That's Rava. Now Rashi says that the case of Akusis is bigiyusam. Why is it bigiyusam? Because Geri Arayasem. If Geri Arayasem, they remain bigiyusam. Giyusam means goyut. Goyut. Meaning they're still non-Jews. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's no lav of Lotus Chatim Bom if they're non-Jews. The lav of Lotus Chatim Bom is bigeirusam. So all the Achronim say that Rashi is based on the Shita of the Ramban. And I mean, again, Rashi is before the Ramban, but what I mean to say is there are many other Rishonim, the Ramban at the head of the group, who hold that the lav of Lo Tischatein Bam applies Sai before the Geirus and Sai after the Geirus. Not like the simple pshat in Rava in Yevamos. Okay, fine. But what we want to study today is the Hafla. And that Hafla you'll find on number Lamed Tes. The Hafla is bothered by a sugya in Sanhedrin. And it's a world famous sugya. We all know it. And that is Haba'al Akusis Kanoim Pogimbo. Who do we derive this from? Who is the great Kanoi? Pinchas. So Pinchas kills the Nasi Shevet Shimon. What was his name? Zimri, right? Zimri. And he puts a Romach through his thing, and that's called Kanoim Pogimbo. So the flaw is going to invoke that sugya as a kash on Rashi. Rashi holds that Kusis is Geri Arayos, which means her status is still that of a non-Jewish woman. And in the case of a non-Jewish woman, a Nochris, we have a principle called Kanoim Pogimbo. And if Kanoim Pogimbo, there's no possibility of a Knas. And that's based on a sugya of Kim Leber the Rabbi Minei in the case of a Mischayev Benafsho, of a Rodef. You remember we discussed Rodef. In a case of a Rodef, he doesn't pay damages because of Kim Leber the Rabbi Minei. Right, because we have to kill him. So the same thing, says that flaw, she would apply to Kanoim Pogimbo. And therefore, if Rashi is correct, that Akusis in our Mishnah is Geri Arayos, which means that we don't recognize their Gerus, then the principle of Kanoim Pogimbo has to apply here. And therefore, there's no way that she can collect Knas, because at the moment that he incurred the Chiyuv Knas, meaning the moment of Be'ilah, it's Kanoim Pogimbo, because she's a non-Jewish woman. And if that be the case, how could we possibly justify the Mishnah that paskins that she collects knas? Diem isa diyesh lenochris knas. Okay, fine. Tosvis claims that a nochris could not collect knas. So again, as I indicated before, there are going to be two problems with Rashi, one of which we can solve, the other which is very problematic. The first problem is that Rashi is invoking the lav of lo tischatein bam, which doesn't apply to a geus, and only applies after geus. And here we're invoking the Ramban, who holds that lo tischatein bam applies sai after geus and sai before geus. But there's a second gaping hole in Rashi. Why does a nachris collect knas? The Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph says that if we were to give knas to a goyita, is the ka'achla ka'azla v'yachla v'giyusa. She's going to use it for avodah zarah. So we can't possibly tolerate giving knas to a nachris. Now Tosis wants to know. I'm sorry. The Achronim want to know, why does Tosis, in objecting to Rashi, why does he feel compelled to quote the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph, the Ka'azla ve'achla ve'giyusa? Why doesn't he simply quote the halacha of Be'ula, that a nachris is becheskas Be'ula, and the Torah says you only pay knas for a besula? So we're going to have to assume the possibility that you could have a nachris mishumeres. Mishumeres means that even though she was raised as a non-Jewish woman, we know that she's still has a cheskas besula. Okay, that's called a mishumeres. Okay. But now I'm looking for that flaw about Kano and Pogobo. Here it is. On page Tzadi Beis. You have Tzadi Beis, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to start reading from the bottom of Tzadi Aleph. You can look at Tzadi Beis if you like. That's fine. He says, Hatam de nochres ein lo knas. Why should we exclude nachris from a knas, even in a case of mishumeres? So she's a besula. Mishum de kanoim pogim bo kedisa b'avodah zarah lamid vavam and beis. Okay, I know it from Sanhedrin. Havelei kamo mechuyove misas bezdin de potem iknas mishum de kimle b'drabamine. Again, this might depend upon. This might depend upon upon Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Remember, we had a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether or not kimle the rabbinay. No. That's only in the case of chayve malchus. Yeah. Now we're talking about a case of chayve misa, and in chayve misa, we have a locha of potter, that he doesn't pay any monetary compensation.
Oh, this is talking about he not paying the knas to her.
Right. How can the Mishnah say he pays a knas to her? She's a kusis. According to Rashi, it's gere arayosem. I'll read it to you inside on page Tzadi Beis.
And he's subject
Amai,
to Pogim Bo.
Yeah. Give me one split second. Amai yesh lekusis knas. How could it be possible that kusis collects knas? Hakim levi the rabbi nishum shekanoim Pogim Bo. Oh, and now he invokes the sugya in Sanhedrin. Ah, now I see why I got confused. The sugya in Sanhedrin is talking about Rodev. The sugya of Avodah Zarah equates Rodev and Kanoim Pogim Bo. That in both cases, there's halach of Kimle Levi the Rabbi Mine.
Yeah, but Rodev, Nitan Lahatzilo Biachad Mi'Evarov. Whereas in Kanoim Pogim Bo, you just kill him.
Kill him. So how can you tell me that he pays knas, or you collect the knas from his yorshim after you kill him? That can't be so, because of Kimle Levi the Rabbi Mine. Now you could argue, in a case of Rodef, is it Kimle Rab? Maybe we could shoot for his legs, etc., etc. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But in a case of Kanoim Pogim Bo, at that moment that he does what he does, if you know what I mean, I don't want to get too explicit here, at that moment we have to knock him off, because he's having Be'ilo with the Nachris. And if that moment you have to knock him off, then for that Maisa he can't incur any Chiyuv Knas, because that's the principle of Kimle Rab the Rabbi Mine. The tirates. So here's where the flaw comes up with an answer. Da bal akusis ein kanoim pogim bo. Why? Kevon de al kolponim misnagim b'minog yadus. Well, this is a breakthrough here. It's all based on Yerushalmi and Ksubis, that there are two types of goyim. or goyetas, shiksas, whatever word you want to use. One is a woman who is active in her idol worship. She's an active pagan. And then there's another woman who's not Jewish, but she's not an Ovedes Avodah Zarah. And the question is, this is the subject of Yerushalmi and Ksuvis, whether or not Kanoim Pogimbo will apply to the case of a Kusi, because a Kusi is not Oved Avodah Zarah. You know, that much we grant them. Again, they weren't very sincere about their geirus, and they were never excited about fulfilling Tayag Mitzvahs, but nevertheless they ceased, at least at some point in history, they desisted from worshipping idols. And Yerushalmi has a shita that once they desist from worshipping idols, that's not true for the Moab of Pinchas, right, of Cosby, then they're no longer in the parasha of Kanoim Pogimbo. Islamanu mi devrayim de besafek. Oh, now we get to the case of a safek. Because the last line in the hafla is gam misveka ein pogimbo. You have a person and you're not sure what their minog is. Do they come under oath to avodah zarah if we have to kill him, or do they not? So what do you do in a safek? Hands up.
You don't ask.
Passive. You know, there's no kanoim pogimbo. And that's our case in our Mishnah. We may not know the exact status of this particular kusis, whether she does, if she's active in her pagan or not, whether she's no even. But bitzad safek, we're going to say that there's no kanoim pogimbo. If there's no kanoim pogimbo, hence there'll be a chiyuv to pay knas. L'manu midivrayim de besafek chiyuv misa lo amrinin kimle b'deram minay. And he quotes a Rashi in Baba Kama to the same effect. Fine. The Ulam. Oh, look at this. Hamogen Avram Cholek. Oh, just one second. I got the names here mixed up. Where is Rabbi Kiva Eger?
Next paragraph.
Just one second. Didn't he quote Rabbi Kiva Eger earlier? You see on page Sari Aleph, he quoted Rabbi Kiva Eger. Just one second. My problem is I'm trying to fit it a lot in a little time, so I'm skipping around, and that backfires on me. Where is Rabbi Kiva Eger? Where is it?
Beginning of Lamed Tet.
The beginning of Lamed Tet. Yeah, that I saw, but that's not going to help me so much. Just one second. I'm Sophie. Oh, now I got it. Oh. Rabosai, here's Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger is going to say the following, that we can collect knas in the case of balakusis because it's a safe kanon pogimbo. We don't know if this kusis is to be classified under the chiyuv misa of kanon pogimbo. Is memela, we're going to collect the knas. Why? Because Rabbi Kiva Eger holds that the exemption from knas would only apply when there's a chiyuv misa. And since there's a suffix here as to whether or not kanoim pogimbo, and there's no definite chiyuv misa, therefore we have to alleviate the chiyuv knas. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger's shita. I'm sorry. I can't believe I just said that. I apologize. Therefore, we have to impose the chiyuv knas. Right? Let me go over it one more time. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that why is there knas in the case of kusis? Because since we can't implement the chiyuv misa before, because we don't know where she stands, it's a safek. Therefore, there's no chiyuv misa. No, if a kanoi comes along, we're going to have to defend the kusis. So therefore, you pay the knas.
So there is a problem.
Oh, this is a really big problem. Take a look in Os Mem. Chayvei Misa Shogigim Peturim Mitashlumin. We don't need the Chiyuv Misa Befoal. We paskin that if there's a Chiyuv Misa even in a Shogig case, you don't pay damages. Why? No, this is not a machlokas. It's going to be a machlokas in Chayvei Malkiyah Shogigim. But in Chayvei Misa Shogigim, we accept And that's the final bottom line of normative halacha, if you pardon the phrase, that there's no chiyuv tashlumin, even though we're not going to impose a chiyuv misa. Alma de lo beinin she'el of chiyuv misa b'fo'al, if you can underline those words. All we need is that there's a theoretical chiyuv misa. So in the case of a kusis, which we're not sure, we're unsure about her minhag, you know, whether she is or not. So in such a case, the chiyuv misa is so to speak, suspended in midair, but it's really a safek chiyuv misa. Don't tell me that, well, we can't put it to death, and therefore there's a payment of knas. Even in the case of chayiv misa shogeg, we're not going to put him to death, but nevertheless, there's a patur of knas. Why? Because there's a chiyuv misa that's hovering over him, so to speak. You know, it's a theoretical chiyuv misa by virtue of the nature of the avera, and that's enough to knock off the tashlum and the knas. Here also, there's a theoretical possibility that maybe she deserves to die, meaning that there is a kanoim pogumbo situation here. And if that be the case, then how can you collect knas? What do you mean collect knas? Because you don't know if she's chayav misa. All right, I don't know if she's chayav misa, but maybe there would be a chayav misa. And on the side of there would be a chayav misa, there's no knas. So how can you go ahead? You know, we have a principle called Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya, which he invokes here on line 5, and that says that in the case of Sofek Mammon, you can't force a person to pay Mammon. How can you force this guy to pay a knas when maybe she's a Mechuyev Misa, and I have at least a 50% chance that she's Mechuyev Misa, and she's an idol worshipper? So we're going to tell me, well, since in Dine Misa, as far as implementing a punishment in Beis Din of Misa, or for this matter, Kanon Pogbo, we can't do so. We're frozen in the case of a Suffolk. But so what? It doesn't depend upon the Chi of Misa b'fo'al. I'll prove that to you from Chayve Misa Shogigin, Peturim in Atashlumin. So if there's a Chi of Misa that's hovering over her, although it's only a Suffolk, we can't implement the Chi of Misa and send all our arrows of Kanoim, or it's time for Mincha. But nevertheless, there's a possibility of a chiyuv misa. That possibility should be enough to alleviate the chiyuv knas under the law of Hamotzi Mechaveru for Raya. Okay, then we'll stop here. So we neither will continue this tomorrow.